You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 chapter. Glory. Faith. Everybody say faith. Well, I've been teaching on faith and been teaching on Hebrews chapter 11 for quite some time, just on Wednesday nights. In fact, we taught on the first verse 1 week, and I think we taught the first two verses. And then we taught on the third verse the next week. And then we taught on the fourth and the fifth verse, I think, the week after that. And then we taught on the sixth verse last week. Is that right? Yeah, I believe that's right. Something like that. We've been on it for quite some time. We hadn't been making a lot of progress verse by verse, but we've been making a lot of progress spiritually in teaching and dissecting and understanding the Word of God. Hey, I'd rather get a hold of one verse than read 100. 100 is East Texas for 100. Same thing. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's one thing, another thing to digest it, to understand it. Hallelujah. So concerning the subject of faith, that's what this whole chapter is about. Men and women who believe God and trusted God. That's their common ground, their commonality. We're not, you know, a lot of times we're so separated from the Bible characters because of our time, the time period we live in, or the occupations we have today, or our ages, or our gender. You know, maybe it was a male or you're a female. Maybe it was a female and you're a male and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you one thing that does not separate us, one thing that joins us, one thing that's common is faith. And that if you'll believe God, you can get out of the mess you're in. This is a record of people who got miracles from God, deliverances from God, victories from God, got out of terrible situations. So I don't know what you're facing, but they got out by faith. Amen. And you can get out by faith too. They believe God, and you can believe God too. Amen? Yeah. And God shows clearly here he's no respecter of persons. All these different walks of life and different ages they lived in and different ages that they were. Didn't matter. Married, single, didn't matter. Young, old, didn't matter. Anybody believed God, God delivered. God helped. God brought victory to their house. And that's what he's drilling in here. And he just lists these people. He talks about the elders in general, the second verse. Talks about how they changed their world in the third verse. He talks about Abel, his sacrifice being accepted there in the fourth verse. And he talks about Enoch in the fifth verse being translated and taken up to heaven. Hallelujah. Lived 365 years and was taken up to heaven and was not, for he believed God, trusted God. Hallelujah. And then he talked about, faith in general pleasing God. That's what pleases him in the sixth verse. In the seventh verse, it says this. Now, take it personal. Take it personal. This is God's word. If I were prophesying here, stay with me. If I said, wait a minute, I have a word from God, thus saith the Lord. Yep. Everybody's ears would perk up. Everybody's ears, rightly so. We should. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, believe in prophecies, believe in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all those things. But I think sometimes we put more credence in that than we do the word. Yeah. Hello. And if you want to know the truth, this actually is more credible. The written word of God is more credible than a personal prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, because we don't exactly know how much flesh might have got into that thing, whoever gave it. Right. Me included. Are you with me? In fact, we judge prophecies and word of knowledge and word of wisdom. We judge them with the word. That's how we judge it. So I think we ought to come, what I'm saying is here, I think sometimes we don't come to the word with the reverence and the awe and the listening intently as we would if someone gave a word. No, we don't need to quit giving words. We believe in words. We believe in gifts of the Spirit. And we ought to pay attention when they come. You understand the context of what I'm saying here. I believe in all that. I'm for that. I think we ought to pay attention when someone has a prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or an encouragement. But we ought to pay attention when we're reading the Bible, when the Bible is being spoken. These are God's words without question. Hallelujah. Seventh verse. By faith, Noah. Everybody know Noah? Yes. Hallelujah. What a name. Noah. Almost sounds like indecision and stuttering at all the same breath. Noah. Noah. By faith, Noah. Being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Ooh, hallelujah. By faith. Now, see, it starts out. All these verses start out by faith, by faith, by faith. By faith, Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen. Not yet seen. That's really what faith deals with anyways, the future. It always deals with the future. Faith never deals with the now. Faith is now, but it always deals with the future. You're not believing for something that's happening. You're believing for something to happen that hasn't happened. You're not believing for something you have in the natural. You're believing for something you don't have, but you're believing you have it in the spirit. Are you with me? So faith always deals with the future. I'm not believing I'm here. I am here. Doesn't take faith to believe I'm here. Are you with me? It takes faith to believe I'm coming. Amen. If I told you I was coming and it was yesterday, and you'd believe that I was going to be here today if I told you I was coming. But once I'm here and you're looking at me, that doesn't take faith. You're looking at me. Faith always deals with what is not, what is going to happen, what can happen, what will happen, what should happen, if we believe. Amen. So he said, being warned of God by faith, Noah being divinely warned of things not seen as yet. Listen, I believe. In this sense, it says he moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Hallelujah. Faith will save your household. I like that. I believe if I stand on God's word and do what he says to do in light of what is divinely revealed to me about the future, and one thing is revealed about the future is Jesus is coming. I know that. Judgment day's coming. I know that. And there is going to be a day of reckoning coming on the earth. I know that. And so, divinely warned of God along those lines, I have prepared an ark for my family. I've preached the word to them, lived for God, lived holy, lived right, because I know something's coming that the world doesn't see. I know that because I've been divinely warned of God from his word, and I know that in my heart. And so that makes me live a certain way, thinking of what the future brings or forebodes, as it were. And that's not that far stretching. That's not stretching way beyond what this is, the context of this. Because think about this. When God told Noah that, it was 97 years later, or at least 97 years later, when the flood came. 97 or less. I know some people say 120, but that won't work. The Bible says Noah was 500 years old and begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth in the 6th chapter of Genesis. And then it says God visited Noah. Blah. Told Noah to build an ark, that he's going to destroy the world with water and so on and so forth. And then he began to build the ark. Y'all all agree? That's what the scripture says. You go read it. 6th chapter of Genesis. Said he was 500 years old, begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and then it says God visited him. So if he just had 1 year apart, he'd have to be like 503 when God spoke to him. Are you with me? And that's stretching. He might have been a little older than that, but let's say it was 503. And then it says when he was 600 years old, the flood came upon the earth. Well, it couldn't have been 120 years old because it tells you he was 600 years old when the flood came upon the earth. Y'all doing the math? Y'all with me? Okay, he's 500 years old. God speaks to him. Well, actually, he's over 500 because he already had his children. And he had his children at 500, and they weren't triplets. And I'll give you another little sign. If you go on the genealogy of Noah, it says his son Shem was 100 years old 2 years after the flood and began a Arphaxad. Well, now, wait a minute. If Shem's 100 years old 2 years after the flood, then he's got to be at the most 98 at the flood. And he was already born before God told him to build the ark. And he wasn't the youngest of the three. Okay. Hey, have you ever heard it took 120 years to build an ark? You ever heard that? I mean, I used to hear that in the Sunday school. They said, oh, it took 120 years building that ark. Well, it didn't take 120. It took less than 97. If you think about it, you know, you put it all together. But let's think about that. It took him 97 years. He believed God, just like you live your whole life believing God and standing in faith concerning something that has not been seen, something that has not come to pass, the coming of the Lord, or death, or judgment, or heaven, or as Johnny Cass wrote a song about a year before he died called When the Man Comes Around. The man's coming. Are you with me? And I may, people may not see it. People may not believe it, but I see it. I know it by faith. By faith I see it. And being divinely warned of things not seen as yet, I'm preparing an ark. I'm living a certain way. I'm building a house to save my house. Are you with me? I'm going to live for my children. I'm going to live for my grandchildren. And it's worth a lifetime of living, although I hadn't seen it happen yet. It's coming. It's coming. DeGarmo and Key wrote a song about Jesus. They were Christian, contemporary Christian band years ago. They wrote a song called When He Comes Back. And it says, remember that kid in the manger scene? Next time he comes, he's going to reign as king. Last time he came, they pushed him around. Next time he comes, they best be out of town. Are you with me? When he comes back, he's coming. He's coming. And we look for that coming. We long for that coming. We as Christians, as believers, look forward to that thing because we are living by faith. Amen? And many times God tells us of things that are coming. Just in your life, if you live a certain way, you're going to reap the benefits or the consequences of the way you live. But because you understand what God says and you're divinely warned of God, you live a certain way knowing that you reap what you sow. Amen? And knowing that you have a way, a promise, a way to save your household. Hallelujah. I mean, all my children are serving God. I could not be any happier. Happy, happy, happy. I am so happy my children are serving the Lord. But you know what? It took me serving the Lord. It took Brenda serving the Lord. It took us in agreement serving God every day, our whole life, after we got saved and after we started having children. We had to do that to prepare that ark to save our children. Amen? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. I mean, we had our kids, they weren't grown. We had our kids, they weren't married. We had our kids, they didn't have kids. But they do now. Except for Jonathan and Liz, and we're believing for them. But, I mean, the kids part. But we were having them, not seen as yet. You know, we knew that the future just keeps rolling on, doesn't it? The years just keep rolling on. So you want to live now in a way that's going to save you down the road. You know, you say, well, I don't know. I don't really want to know how. I don't know what the future, I don't know what I want to be. Well, you know what you don't want to be. You know where you don't want to be. You don't want to wind up in a ditch somewhere, an alcoholic, well, homeless, do you? Well, don't do the things that will lead you to the ditch on the side of the road. In 10 years, and 20 years, 30 years, are you out there? You may not know exactly where you want to be, but you know where you don't want to be. 10 years is coming, so is 20, and so is 30, and so is eternity. But thank God, by faith, we can face it with courage. We can face it with boldness. Hallelujah. We can face it with joy because we're following God's instructions. We're building our lives just like Noah built that ark, just like God told him to, followed God's instructions when everybody else laughed at him. That's all right. God told him to do it, and he's obeying God, and that's all he was concerned about. And by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Hallelujah. Amen. This right standing with God, this ability to stand in heaven before God without any sense of guilt, fear, inferiority, or fear, this sense of rightness and justice and righteousness comes from faith. It comes from me trusting God. Hallelujah. I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. I know heaven is my home. Hallelujah. I know because I'm trusting him, because my faith is in him. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you, if Noah could save his household, you can save yours. If he could build his life and build an ark to save, then you can build your life and a house that saves. Hallelujah. But you're going to have to see a little down the road here. You're going to have to be a far-sighted, not just nearsighted. I think too many people are nearsighted. They're just not far-sighted enough. We can't see far enough out there. You know, everything's just too close. We need to see further. Now, if you're going to see further, you have to have faith. You don't have to have faith to see close. You have to have faith to see further. I don't have to have faith to see what's right here in front of me. I don't have to have faith to feel. I don't have to have faith to know this is a pulpit. I have to have faith to see what's not here. I have to have faith to see what the future holds. And that's what, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, hope for the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Amen. And he saw things not seen, if that makes any sense. He saw things not seen as yet and moved. See, we need to move on the promises of God. Amen? Yes. We need to move on them. We need to talk like the real. We need to start saying them. We need to start praying them. We need to start acting on them. We need to move with godly fear. Not afraid of him, but godly fear, reverence, awe, respect. And like I talked about when we first started here, This is God's word. He means what he says. He's going to do what he says. And if he says this is the way it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. I'm committing myself to it. I don't know about everybody else. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to see this promise come to pass. Woo. Glory. Preaching myself happy. Eighth verse. By faith, Abraham. Oh, man, we're going. Listen, we talked about Abel. We talked about Enoch. We talked about Noah. Now we're on Abraham. Father Abraham. Our father. Amen. We're all the children of Abraham by faith, the Bible says, under this new covenant. Hallelujah. All of righteousness that Jesus talked about, Paul talked about, started with a man named Abraham, started with a promise God made Abraham. Hallelujah. He is our patriarch, as it were. He is the father of our faith, as it were. Not Moses, not the law, but Abraham. Man. And it says this about Abraham, by faith Abraham. Well, listen, he did the same thing. He believed God. Can't you believe God? I mean, come on. Can't you believe God? I'm just in Will's Point, or I'm just in Edgewood, or Frog, or Elmo, or somewhere. You know, or I'm just from Michigan. You know, so. Hello. Well, it doesn't matter where you're from. Yeah, but you know, maybe I don't have the education, or maybe I have too much education. That can be dangerous too. You can believe God. Everybody can believe God. Yeah, well, I'm old, or I'm young, or hello. It doesn't matter. You can believe God. In fact, Jesus said, except you have faith as a child, you'll not enter the kingdom. It just takes faith to enter the kingdom. Just trust, that's all. In other words, God says it, you believe it, you act on it. That's faith. Faith's just doing what God says. Abraham, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He just knew God said, go that way. And he said, well, that way I will go. That's what God said. That's what I'm going to do. And people probably asked him, well, Abraham, where are you going? I'm going that way. Well, what's out there? I don't know. Well, what in the world are you going that way for? Because that's what God said to do. Are you with me? Well, why are you doing it? Because God said to go there. Well, Abraham, that doesn't make a lick of sense to me. And Abraham probably said, well, God didn't tell you. He told me. And he didn't tell me to ask you if it was okay. He just told me to go. Are you out there? So it says, how did you pack up like that? He was in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, I love these names. Ur was a real place. It's the Chaldean Empire. It's in lower Iraq. It's in Ur was just south of Babylon. South of Baghdad in that area. Iraq, there's such a history there. It's called the Fertile Crescent, you know, in that area. And Ur was there, and they worshiped the moon goddess, Nanu. Nana and Nanu. That's their names. That was their names. And they worshiped the moon goddess there. In fact, Abraham's parents, his father, Terah, actually worshiped other gods. That's what Joshua says. In the book of Joshua, it tells us that Abraham's parents or family worshiped other gods. So God pulled Abraham out of all that. I mean, this is a huge step. We don't often think about the breaks that Abraham made with his family and with his culture and with his upbringing. But God divinely spoke to him, and he obeyed it. And the world was against him, and his parents were against him. His upbringing was against him. His culture was against him. And yet he knew he had heard God. And he left this pagan worship, and left the whole his upbringing, the place where he was raised. He was 75 years old when God called him out. And he left all that with his wife and his nephew, and left Ur of the Chaldees and came into the promised land, or the land of Canaan. And it says, well, you might wonder how he did that. Well, it says by faith he did it. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would afterward receive. I love that. Faith always afterward receives. It receives in the spirit when you pray, But you really it doesn't manifest right away. You ever notice that? There again, faith deals with the future. Faith starts now, faith is now. Now faith is, no question. But what faith does, it brings the future into the reality, or the hope for a thing into reality, or it makes substance out of what you desire, but it connects you with the future. And if you want a future and a hope based on the Bible, then you need to start believing right now. Because faith is the only thing that will connect you with the future and the hope that God has for you. God's destiny, God's calling, God's will. If you want, and I don't have time to get into all this, I'm running out of time already, but if you go on a little further and talk about the kind of place he was looking for, he was looking for something that God made. He's looking for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. It goes on next verse. I have to pick it up next week. But if you want something that's built and made by God, if you want a future and a destiny and a hope and a calling that's made by God, then you're going to have to right now believe God and start moving on what you're believing, start acting on what you're believing, start saying what God says concerning that thing, or else you're just going to make your own future without him, and it's not going to be too pretty. Are you with me? How would you like a marriage whose builder and maker is God? How'd you like a business whose builder and maker is God? Well, you're going to have to get in the Word to find that out. And then you're going to have to start right now believing for that kind of marriage, that kind of business. Or else, if you're not believing for something, well, whatever happens, happens. It won't be good. But if you're believing God, you can determine how it's going to turn out. You say, well, I don't know about that. That's just crazy. Well, every farmer does it. Every farmer takes over a plot of ground, takes authority over it, digs it up, pulls out the weeds, throws out the rocks, plows it, and then picks out a certain seed and says, that's what's going to grow here and nothing else. He prophesies over it. He takes authority over it. He says, I'm growing watermelons right down that road right there, and I'm going to put a stake up with a pitcher on it right there, watermelons. He does that. Somebody runs by and says, what's that? That's a watermelon patch. I don't see anything but dirt. Farmer just laughs, says, you just wait and see. He takes over the ground. He prophesies. He plants the seeds. He waters it. Puts signs up. Tells everybody what's going to come up. And hey, every once in a while a weed comes up. I don't think so. And he pulls that up. Are you with me? And the vines start growing, watermelons start coming out, and here comes a coyote. And getting my watermelon. Hello. He protects it. He guards it. Holds on to his vision, his dream. Are you with me? Doesn't let it go. He's believing God. He's trusting God. And he's working the Word. Are you with me? But I get way ahead of myself. That's for next week.